Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read this whole chapter because it will give us a little more insight as I go back and pick up on some things. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said unto him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. That's pretty mean, isn't it? You can't get any meaner than that. And he knew it, in verse 33, and he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave into my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now we're going to start the journey of Joseph. As I was reading this, I said, this is to me, and I like to read it like this sometimes. It's like watching a play. You know, we've watched Jacob now for a while. Now he's going to fade out. Here in just a little bit, Jacob's going to fade out, and Joseph is going to take the scene. And this is what's going to happen. And we come to this story now concerning Joseph. Everyone, I'm sure, that's been in Bible school knows the story of Joseph. I don't know that they know the story of his representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they know the story of Joseph. And Joseph is probably one of the, he's one of the strongest types of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the book of Genesis and throughout the Old Testament. He's one of the strongest types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just point out a few of them. Joseph was the favorite of his father. Of all the brethren, he's the favorite. He's the one that Jacob loved. So is Christ. The Father spoke from heaven. And he said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He never spoke from heaven concerning anybody else until that time. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then Joseph was hated by his brethren. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came unto his own received him not. They despised him. They despised him. And then Joseph was sold for silver. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And Joseph, you will notice this as we go through the story of Joseph. Joseph never yielded to temptation. He never yielded. Remember Potiphar's wife, how she made so many advances on him? He never yielded. Even so, our Lord, when he walked on this earth in the flesh, he never yielded to any temptation. He was tried. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. In the wilderness, when he was in the wilderness, he was tempted. He was hungry. First thing Satan did was tempt him to turn stone into bread and eat. He never yielded. He never yielded to temptation. And I'll tell you this. When we read the story of Joseph, we go through this. Not one time will you and I read anything negative about Joseph. We will not read anything that he did in any way that was wrong. And I know he did things wrong. He was a man of like passion, like us. But in the scriptures, as a type of Christ, you won't find anything negative about Joseph. When we look at Jacob, what do we find? Deception and just one thing after another. Abraham, same thing. He, you know, You said to his wife, tell him you're my sister so I can live. And Isaac, he did the same thing Abraham did. David, you go, but Joseph, nothing. Nothing. Because he represents the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfection. And then Joseph was lied on. They went back to the father and they lied to the father. Our Lord was lied on. It's tough when someone lies on you, isn't it? It's tough. And then Joseph, listen, Joseph suffered for sin that he didn't commit. He was put in prison for a sin that he didn't commit. Our Lord suffered for the sins, all the sins of all his elect, and he didn't commit one. He didn't commit one. What a picture. What a picture. And then Joseph, we know the end of the story. Joseph came out of prison to be the greatest in the land. He goes to prison for several years. Then he comes out of that prison and he is the greatest in the land. The greatest. Our Lord goes to the grave. He goes to prison. He goes to the grave. He comes out of it. And now who's the greatest? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's none greater than him. Now verse 1 starts out with Jacob dwelling in the land wherein his father, it says, was a stranger. He never became Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they never became citizens. They never became citizens. They were wanderers. They were strangers. They were pilgrims, just like we are. That's what we are. And he dwelt safely and peacefully in this land, but he was still a stranger in it. We're strangers in this world. Our home is in heaven. That's where our home is. And I think of that more and more as I grow older. This is not my place. This is really and truly, this is not my home. I'm going home. The Lord's going to come and get us. One by one. If he doesn't come back and just put an end to all this. But one by one. The Lord's going to come and get us. And he's going to take us home. Take us home. You know, like when I was coming down here, my dad, he's just like, you going to sell your house? It's like, I mean, he was like, you can't sell your house. That's all you got. You know, on this, I'm like, no, that doesn't bother me at all. I've got a home. I've got a home I'm going to. I've got a permanent home I'm going to. I'm right now, this is a journey. This is a journey. So I was telling Landon yesterday, I mentioned it to him as he's getting married. I said, Landon, you're on a journey. I said, your journey has begun now. Your journey with your wife, but you're on a journey. And all the things you and I go through is part of the journey home. Whatever it is, it'll just, if whatever comes your way today, whatever tomorrow, if tomorrow comes, that's part of the journey home. It's ordered of God. It's ordered. It's appointed. And that gives me great comfort. It gives me real comfort. We're just strangers here. Strangers. And Jacob was special. Jacob have I loved. Now, when you go back and you read, I'm not going to read it, but if you go back and you read this chapter 36, you're going to read of the generation of Esau, and it gives all these names, and then you start reading where this is Duke this and Duke that, and I mean, they had these important people. And when I was reading, I read all of that, and when I was reading it, my thought was this: don't get impressed, and don't think, because someone is made rich and their family is prosperous, that they have God's favor. Esau have I hated. So don't ever judge a person's relationship to God by what they possess or don't possess. Our relationship to God is, is judged by our relationship to Jesus Christ. It's to Christ. It's my union to Christ. That's my relationship to God. Here is evidence of God's favor. Do you believe? Each one of you, if you can say, yes, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe. That's evidence of God's favor. That's evidence. Not the home you own, not the job you have, not the money you make. That's not evidence. They can be blessings, but that's not. The evidence is this. I believe God. I believe God. But Jacob was special. Listen to this. Psalm 145. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. It is written in Numbers 23. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Well, we've just read the story of Jacob. There's a lot of iniquity there. A lot of deception. But it says here in Numbers 23, he's not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Listen, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. You know why? He put it away. It's gone. It's gone. I can say with full confidence to every believer in this room, God does not behold iniquity and sin in you. He doesn't behold it. Christ put it away. And then it says in Psalm 24:6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. I tell you what, you can't speak of Jacob and not speak of Jacob's God. You know, it's like if I speak of Doug and Judy, you know, they go together, John and Vicky. And you know, when you speak of people that you know, you speak of them and you speak of both of them's name together. And sometimes for me to remember someone's name, I have to say their names together, the wife and the husband together, then I got it. Sometimes trying to think, what's his name? What's to see? What's her? Then I can. When I say it together, I've got it. When you speak of Jacob, you have to speak of his God also. You have to speak of God Almighty also. They can't be separated. Can't be separated. Now he says, these are the generations of Jacob. As I said back in 36, you know, you get all those names, but here in this chapter. In this chapter, when he says these are the generation of Jacob, it starts with one person, Joseph. Joseph. And here's why. Joseph is a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a representation of the whole heavenly host. That whole generation of heaven. That crowd that can't be numbered is bound up and represented by one man, Jesus Christ. God the Father looks upon the whole host of heaven in one man, his Son, the man Christ Jesus. And Israel says in verse 3, love Joseph more than all his children. That's the son of, it says it's the son of his old age. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of the Ancient of Days. He's the Son of God Almighty, who is called in Scripture the Ancient of Days. And Jacob made Joseph a coat of many colors. First of all, he made it very clear, this is my son, my special son. This is the son of my love. The Heavenly Father has made it very clear that he loves the Son, his Son. It says in John 5:20, the Father loveth the Son. He loveth the Son. And we are loved only as we are in him. A person who does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, a person who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot look at that person and say, God loves you. Now, I can say to everyone who believes, God loves you. God loves you. And the evidence of it is you believe. That's the evidence of it. And this coat of many colors here represents royalty. Royalty. It distinguished him from all others. When he wore this coat of many colors, you know, you could see Joseph's brethren out here, and they all wore the same clothing. They had the same shepherd clothing and things. But now Joseph, he's got this coat on that just distinguishes him from all others. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's distinguished from all his other brothers and sisters. He's distinguished above us. He's the King. He's the King. He's Lord. And because of this, Joseph's brethren hated him. They hated him because his father loved him. His father loved him. And they knew it. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he walked among the Jews. And he would heal. They said, no man can do this except God be with him. The crowds began to follow him. And it says they were envious. They were envious. And they hated him. They hated him for the good that he did. They hated him for it. And I'll tell you this. They hated him because he told the truth. He spoke the truth. If a Pharisee was standing there, he'd say, you're a white as sepulcher. You know, everybody else thought they were the best people in town. He said, no, you're not. You're a snake. You are a viper. You are a white as sepulcher. That's who you are. And they hated him for speaking the truth. If you'll notice in verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. And Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil deeds. He told on them. He didn't hide their sins. You ever have a brother or sister tell on you? And you get mad at him? You told on me. He never hid their sins. He was honest. He was true. And he spoke. You know, our Lord never hid our sins. He never made excuses for our sins. He died for our sins. He died for them. Joseph told his father of their evil deeds. He didn't try to hide them. He was an honest man, truthful man. Our Lord said this in John 7:7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. And here's why. Because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. And that what he did, he told his father of their evil deeds. He said, the world hates me because I testify that their deeds are evil. And that's why they hate me. And that's why they hated Joseph, because Joseph told on them. He was an honest man. He was a man of high moral character. And then Joseph dreams a dream there in verses 5 and 8. He dreams a dream, and in it all his brethren bow to him. They bow to him. And when he tells them this dream, they hate him for it. I said, are you serious? You're 17 years old. You're almost a baby except for Benjamin of the family. We're going to bow to you. He said, shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? Isn't that what the Jews said? We will not have this man reign over us. I tell you what. People, for the most part, can take the Lord Jesus Christ doing anything but being sovereign. That's what brings the knives out. You can let him be the creator. You can let him be the one who's healing. You can let him go about doing good. But when you preach his absolute sovereignty, that makes him mad. Just like it did Joseph's brethren. You think we're going to bow to you? Who do you think you are? And when Jesus Christ came into this world and they saw him, and just dressed up like a shepherd, just a robe. No, there's no halo over his head. There's no purple robe or no crown on his head. And they look at him and he didn't go to their school. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And they hated him for it. We're not bound to this, Well, Joseph has another dream. Verses 9 and 11. And not only do they bow to him, but listen, he dreams of the heavens. This jumped out at me. It's just never jumped out at me like this before. But he dreams of the stars and the moon and the whole heavens bowing to him. Our Lord has dominion in heaven and earth. You know, there's not one place that the man Christ Jesus does not have absolute dominion right now. He's the sovereign. All power has been put into his hands. In verses 12 through 17, I'm going to close because we're not going to finish all this. The Father sends his Son to seek his brethren. The Father sends the Son to seek his brethren. Just as our Lord was sent. He tells us he was sent into this world. He didn't come of his own. He was sent. And he was sent into this world to seek his brethren. And when he came into this world, he came to the Jews first. And they turned thumbs down on him, just like Joseph's brethren turned thumbs down on him, put him in a pit. But he was sent by his Father to seek his brethren, and most of them, for the most part, hated him and rejected him. We're not going to have this. Joseph, you're not going to reign over us. No, we're going to prove this. We're going to settle this. This dreamer, we're going to show him what. We'll show him who's boss. We're going to put him in a pit. Well, actually, they was going to kill him. They was going to kill him. That's what their intention was. But, and this is interesting. I'm going to close, but they were going to kill him. I think it was Reuben talked him out of it. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Well, you know who's Ishmael. Ishmael was a cursed. And it's just like when our Lord came into this world, his brethren gave him over to the Romans to do the dirty deed, to kill him, to take care of him, do whatever they wanted to with him. They didn't care. But let's pick up here. Let me end it here. And Lord willing, we'll pick up here where the Father sent his Son into this world. I think that's a good place to start the next time. All right.